Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Well, praise the Lord. Kathy and I just returned from Europe in the Middle East. Saw Fikri and Pastor Rice in Europe at a conference. It's so exciting what God is doing in Europe. And then it was in the nation of Jordan. We have a son and daughter-in-law there who just had triplets, and they've lived on the Syrian border for many years. It's not where you normally vacation, but God's done wonderful things, so we're so happy to be home. And we leave for Asia Saturday for 2 weeks, but it's always wonderful to be home. We're coming to the end of a series called Divine Communication. How many of you enjoyed Pastor Donnie and Pastor Reggie when they came? I just love them, so thankful for them. And I felt to go from the subject of hearing God to talking about how do we release the power of God. I want to talk to you about releasing the power of God to heal the sick, including yourself. Now, so there's a twofold thing. How do you receive the healing of God when you are sick? And then how do you see someone healed when you pray for them? This is a subject that's kind of fraught with peril and wondering. How many of you know God heals? How many of you haven't been healed before? Raise your hand. I haven't at times. Take medicine. So I get these questions all the time. Why doesn't God heal every time? What's going on? And I don't have all the answers to that conundrum. I know there are times that when people die, we're praying for, God just chooses to be glorified through their death, not their life. I've seen that. But I don't have all the answers. All I can say is this: God wants to heal us a lot more than we're currently seeing it. Both Kathy and I have been healed from things the doctors never thought you could be healed from. Both of us are alive today because of the healing power of God. Now, this is in Hebrews 6:12. Don't be lazy. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, if you're going to see healing, it takes two things: faith and patience. Kathy was healed from seizures. We waited on God 12 years. I went through something for months and months and months, and I can't remember how long I was sick that time in my 30s when God healed me and the doctor said there was no answer but quitting work. So there are times it's more than just faith. And sometimes God just does it. I can remember being delirious, dying of hepatitis at the age of, I think, 23. There was really no hope. My liver was destroyed. I came out of my delirium in the cold wave of God's presence flooded my whole room. I was healed the next day. I had to get my strength back. You know, Kathy's got a boot because she stress fractured her foot in Jordan. One time she had a fracture in her toe that was about to pierce the skin and was instantaneously healed in a church service. I mean, she could tell you that's what she looked. I mean, bam, it just healed. It just healed up. And some of my fathers in the Lord literally raised dead people. I've not seen a dead person raised, but I have seen blind hear, lame walk, deaf heal, true miracles. So here's what I've learned. I want to start with the principles of being healed, and then I want to give you four practices that I have learned. First is the promises of God. You know, the scripture is filled with promises to be healed, but in Isaiah 53:4-5, it says this: surely he took up our pain, bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his wounds, we are healed. It's clear to me when you study Isaiah 53:4-5 in the Hebrew, that Jesus did not just bear our sin on Calvary. He literally bore our sickness. And we find this in Matthew 8:16-17. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out their spirits and with a word healed all the sick. That was one of the few times in the ministry of Jesus that uses the word all. It was one of those moments where everyone at the meeting was healed that was sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and bore our diseases, which is another translation of that word. So one thing I want to say this: if Jesus bore your sickness, maybe we're bearing some we shouldn't bear. So what you're going to find is healing takes faith. Now, there are situations where you see people instantaneously like healed. In reality, many times it's not instantaneous. It's a culmination of an internal process of faith growing. I mean, can Jesus heal people without faith? Yes, he does. The one guy said, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." He was healed. One of my old fathers in the Lord, Ray Jennings, who preached to millions and millions of people, millions saved, cut a covenant with God. God said, "I'll bring the multitudes if you never publicize your name or ask for money at a crusade meeting." He didn't. He used to always tell me, unbelief and faith like a battery. It takes positive and negative to make current. Don't be afraid of unbelief, just get a bit more faith. And so what I want to do tonight is build your faith. And one of the best ways to do it is take, and I'll show you this in a moment, is to take the promises of God and speak them, ponder them, claim them. You know, there's a book, it's called Bodily Healing in the Atonement. I highly recommend it. It's an analysis of Isaiah 53, Bodily Healing in the Atonement. And when the doctors told me I'd shattered my health, stress fatigue syndrome, you're done, you're gone, the only answer from some of the best doctors in my whole state, the leader of which was my spirit-filled friend, was quit the ministry 2 years, maybe you'll get well. But I began to feast on those promises. Speak them, read them, claim them. Why? Because I knew the promises of God would build my faith. Now, the second thing is the presence of God. It says this in Malachi 4:2, "But for you who revere my name," that's you, "the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings." In the presence of God, there are, what's the right word? Spiritual nutrients that you can't get any other place. You see, when men and women were separated from God through the sin of Adam, our spirit didn't die. When it says that we're dead in trespasses, that means we're separated from God. There are things in the presence of God that you were designed to experience. Your brain works better. Your body works better. Your hormones function better. The neurochemicals are better. So if you need to be healed, spend time in his presence. How many of you feel better after you leave Bethel? It's not just because of this beautiful building. I felt real good in the other building. It's because you're experiencing the presence of God. So, but when you go home tonight, and you say, "Well, why am I experiencing the presence of God at Bethel, not at home?" Because at home, you don't normally do the things you do at Bethel. Are you listening to the word? Are you speaking the word? Are you raising your hands? Are you worshiping? You know, like many of you, like me, and I love the gift of tongues. How many of you pray in tongues? Raise your hand. I love tongues. Now, when I'm in a public meeting, like on a Sunday morning, I'm very quiet. Maybe I'll kind of whisper in tongues, unlearned and unbelieving there. But at home, I'm loud in tongues, as my wife could tell you. I'm loud in those tongues. And yes, there's a corporate dimension of worship. But if you need to be healed, you need to be in the presence of God. I mean, bring your sick body into the presence of God. Because God says, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing. What that means is, God is like the sun. It's using the analogy of a sun here. How many of you know if you went a few days without the sun, you'd just be in trouble? Eventually, you start to break down. There's places where they're dark all the time. People get depressed. We need sunlight. God says, you need S-O-N light. Your body, your spirit need my presence. Thirdly, the people of God. The Bible says, to another by the same faith, to another gifts of healing by that one spirit. There are men and women in the world that have the gift of healing. Now it says there's gifts, plural, of healing. The gift of healing that I have that works consistently in my life is a gift for psychological and emotional trauma. When I pray in a traumatized person, power comes out of my hands, and many times they get better. But I've had friends that have gifts of healing all types of diseases. Now, there'll be people in Bethel, there are people in America that have a literal gift of healing. Maybe they haven't discovered it yet. Maybe they haven't basically manifested it yet, but it's there. Now, even if we don't have the gift of healing, God can still heal us and heal the sick through us. Like one of my primary gifts, as you know, is the gift of prophecy and the gift of word of knowledge. And let's say I'm laying hands on Fikri, and a lot of times I'll lay hands on a person, and all of a sudden a physical problem in their body will be shown me, and I'll prophesy, "You've been having this problem, you've been having that," and they're healed. Why? Because their faith is ignited because they know I don't know what's going on in them. So a lot of times when I see physical healing, it comes in the platform of the word of knowledge or prophecy, God like revealing to me something. I was out of, how many of you know there are other Bethels even in this area? We have one in Murfreesboro, one in Clarksville. And I was sitting there to preach in Clarksville Sunday, and all of a sudden one of the worship guys is walking by me. I stop him, and I say, you've been having heart problems, you felt this crushing in your chest, but God is healing you. He'd been going through that for 18 months. And so, but what happened? He says, well, okay, Jim doesn't know that, God knows, and his faith's ignited. So whether you have the gift of healing or not, and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but we cannot limit what God does in us and through us through the gifts. Because if the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, he can do anything. Here's going on with this. The Bible says, if any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. You know, one thing I found is how many of you are faithful to take your medicine if the doctor gives it to you? How many of you are faithful to lay hands on your on someone in your family when they're sick every day like that medicine? I really felt like, okay, well, we're taking all these pills, we got antibiotics. Then if we take something for our stomach, we got nausea pills, we got asthma pills. We got every kind of pill in the world. And the Lord said, you know, have you ever thought that my medicine's fairly good too? And I felt challenged. Why are you more faithful to pop a pill, which normally has side effects, than you are to pop my word? Why are you more faithful to ask your wife, are you taking your asthma medicine? Are you taking your congestion? Honey, are you taking your vitamins? Why aren't you as faithful to lay hands on her? Why aren't you as faithful to anoint her with oil or for her to anoint me with oil? As we are, don't forget your medicine. Oh, don't forget your medicine. And the fact of it is, one of the barriers we have in the Western world, anyone that travels in other parts of the world, like Fikri or myself, or anyone here, Margot, Kathy, they'll tell you a lot of times there's more healing in other parts of the world. Why? Because as Westerners, we've been taught to have more faith in the scientific than the sacred. And because we have options and because we can get medicine, we're not normally desperate. And I appreciate the scientific, but the sacred is powerful. The sacred can boggle the scientific when those tumors fall. My old friend Ray Jennings, he's in one meeting, a man came with no eyeball in his head. He spoke and a new eyeball formed. I was in a meeting where the woman had not walked in years. They were not Christians. The mayor brought his wife paralyzed in the back seat of a car, not walked for. I walked her sit up in one meeting and walk in the next. This Jesus is a healer. I appreciate the scientific. When I'm sick, my wife will tell you, are you scientific, sacred, scared? I mean, I bomb everything. Anoint me with oil, give me vitamins, give me medicine. I mean, I'll try it all. But the fact is, our greatest barrier many times to healing is the fact that we've put our trust in science, not in the sacred. And I appreciate science as a gift of God. I appreciate what God's taught us about, you know, penicillin and medicines and all. Now, go ahead and say this. Then in Hebrews we find one of the doctrines of the church. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, 1 and 2, go beyond elementary teachings. Go into what? Go to maturity. Learn about repentance from acts that lead to death. Learning about having faith, about cleansing rites or baptisms, and the laying on of hands, resurrection, etc. Now, why is this little laying on of hands thing put right in between baptism and the resurrection of the dead? Seems like, okay, give me a break. Water baptism, spirit baptism, I know that's important. Obviously, like resurrection of the dead, final judgment. Why this? Hold up your hand just like this. God gave you his hand not just to grab that fork or to grab that steering wheel. God gave you this hand or to play your favorite sport or to mess with your phone. God gave you these hands to heal the sick. He will, out of each and every one of you, release his power. This is a fact. And I've learned, can I talk about this a second? I feel different things in my hands. Like, let's say I'm praying over, what's your name, brother? I've prophesied over you before, and your wife, haven't I? Let's say I'm praying over Chris for some kind of trauma The minute I begin, I can begin to feel the pulsating of God's power in my hand. And as I begin, and a lot of times what I'll do when I'm praying over someone, I'll close my eyes and I'll softly pray in tongues. Why? Well, tongues doesn't just help you focus. We know from Romans 8, when we don't know exactly how to pray, tongues connects our spirit with God. And as I wait here, I can literally begin to feel when I'm praying for, we're right now, we're just demonstrating something. I was literally praying. I would begin to feel the probing power of the Holy Spirit going down into him. Some people, they literally feel heat in their hands. Now, a lot of times when that happens, I think it's because God's literally going to burn away a tumor. God's going to do something. People feel fire in their hands. And Jesus, man, Jesus laid hands. One of the signs that follows will lay hands on the sick. How many of you have ever felt the Holy Spirit in your hand? Raise your hand. This is your birthright. May I say this? Jesus Christ didn't just die to get inside of you. He died to get out of you. He wants to use you. He wants his power to come out of your hands. He wants his word to flow out of your mouth. He wants to open your eyes. And in a few minutes, we're going to, anybody sick here is going to stand up, and we're going to lay hands on them. We're going to speak the word over them, and we're going to believe the Holy Spirit of God to come out of your hands and heal them. Now, let me tell you four practices of healing that I want to recommend to you. I'm going to give you four P's. As my wife will tell you, I love things like P's, T's, R's, Q's, etc. I want to talk about pictures, proclamation, placement, and persevering. Your imagination is a powerful thing, transformative thing. We know from neuroscience, and I'm not going to take the time to go into examples of scientific experiments from Harvard and places, but let me give you an example. They ran an experiment. I cannot remember which major university it was, and I cannot tell you that the details aren't in front of me, but it was based like this. They had a group of people playing a piano song every day for a certain period of time. They had another group of people in another room imagining playing that song every day, and the effects on the brain were almost the same. Your power, the power of imagination, it's why God says, if you look lustfully on a woman, or we can reverse it as well, if you look lustfully at a member of the opposite sex, you've committed the act. What Jesus is really saying is, it can affect your brain and your chemistry dramatically and powerfully. I mean, they've had people, they get them there for hours flexing their thumb, and what that does to affects their brain. They don't have the same people just imagining flexing their thumb, and it affects their brain. Anyone that works in sports can tell you, they'll use imagination. Imagine yourself hitting the ball. Isn't that true, coach? Imagine your tennis swing. Imagine how you hit that forehand. You know, my friends like, oh, my wife Kathy, I have a friend's music. Imagine playing that piece. Imagine your fingering. So what I want you to do is, when you need to be healed, I want you to go to the healing miracles of Jesus. They're painted so beautifully. And I want you to imagine yourself being there. I want you just to begin to imagine Jesus placing his hands on you. I want you to begin to use that imagination. Why? Because that imagination is going to begin to affect your body chemistry. It's going to slowly affect your neural. In the second word, they call it neural sculpting. People pay big money. I mean, people pay money, and here's what exactly people say. If you're depressed, close your eyes and imagine your mom and your dad and all the people that love you saying all kinds of nice things about you. How many of you know you've been hurt by your mom and dad sometimes and all your friends? I think, heck, I appreciate my mom, my dad. I had great ones. I appreciate my wife and my friends. But why not just close my eyes and see Jesus speaking his great promises over me? You're my son. You're my daughter. You're healed. You're more than a conqueror. So engage your imagination in this process. You know, the great mystics in times past, many of them, men and women, very famous ones, when they would literally read the Bible, they'd engage their imagination. And when they'd say Jesus saying to people, I'm sending you out as a fisher of men, they'd close their eyes and imagine themselves being that person. They had no science to back it up. The Lord just led them. Imagine yourself in those healing scriptures. Imagine Jesus speaking that word. That is one of the ways of unlocking this word. Proclaim it. I can say, I'll proclaim, I am the Lord that healeth thee. None of these diseases will fall upon you. I proclaim that word. I may write that word out. I may write it out with my non-dominant hand, which is right. I may change the cadence of my voice, the volume of my voice. Neuroscience says these things affect us. God's not just in faith, he's in science. He made us. He knows what affects us. When the doctors told me to quit work for 2 years, I was basically going numb in my whole body. I had all the symptoms of rheumatoid arthritis. And what I began to do is that numbness would start in my foot and begin to go up in my body. I would lay hands on myself and I would pray in tongues and proclaim that living word. Under the power of the Holy Spirit met the numbness that was coming into my body and drove it out. Listen, if Buddhist monks not filled with Christ could use their mantras and sit in the snow and sweat, surely we can be healed from a cold or two. I mean, this Jesus is powerful, beloved. And so I want you to proclaim that word, speak that word, announce that word, accept that word. You know, I'm so convicted in my own life how I'll faithfully take medicine but not take God's word when I'm sick. I'll faithfully go back to the doctor but give up on God the first time I've prayed and I don't get healed. How many of you would pray more for healing if there were no doctors left in America tomorrow? If we wake up tomorrow to an America with no doctors, no nurses, and no medicine, we're all going to have a lot more stories of healing miracles. Not that I wish to be in that land, by the way, but I'm telling you we would. You know why? We'd have no option left. And options are wonderful. But I have to confess to you, as one of the leaders there, I'm more faithful to practice medicine than I am to practice healing when I'm sick. And I'm not saying I don't use medicine. I'm saying I should probably be a bit more faithful. I mean, I'll switch antibiotics, go back to the doctor, what's wrong? I'll study them. I'll think about them. I'll look on the internet. I'll call. I mean, like, I'm like a sinus expert almost. Why aren't I a healing expert? And you know, I was sitting, I was going to get some keys cut in Home Depot. And the man helping me was in a wheelchair. His legs were shriveled up. And I looked down at him, and I was just filled with empathy for him as a young man. I thought to myself, I wish I could heal him. And Jesus spoke to me and said, you could if you believed. Just like that, you could if you believed. And I'm so challenged as I turn 63 here this year. I've walked with God a long time. I turned to Christ at 8, called to ministry at 17. It's a good while. I'm challenged more and more in this area of healing that somehow I'm missing something. Okay. Then third, place your hands. I believe in laying on of hands. Those of you who are married, lay hands on your spouse. Anoint he or she with oil. If you're sick, come on Wednesday night. Come on Sunday night. Call. Say, I need the elder to lay hands on me. I need to lay hands. This is what the Bible says. If you're sick, call for the elders. Well, what do you know? I don't think we try that enough. Am I surrounded by elders all the time? Kathy, I'll get sicker and sicker. We'll call that old doctor. We'll call him old, you know, one of my good friends up, huh? And we use oil, but getting out of oil. I got to tell you this funny thing. I told Kathy, order some anointing oil from around the world. I need different fragrances, brands. Let's just bring us in a pharmacy of anointing oil. So we got all these anointing oils, came over Amazon. Amazon sells everything. And we got this one bottle. It was my favorite fragrance. I go, man, this must be from Jerusalem. She goes, sorry, honey, it's from Louisiana, from a store called God's Outlet. Then my faith kind of dove down. I didn't know God had an outlet store like where you could buy healing cheap. My faith got a little affected. God's Outlet in Louisiana. I go, oh, well, who knows? I thought, surely this must be from the ancient Israelites. Surely one of David's own perfumers must have made this. No, it's from Louisiana. Anyway, okay, so much for that. So let me encourage you. God uses proxies. He uses the laying on of hands. He uses anointing with oil. You know, I believe in medicine. I believe God gives science. I believe God gives us a gift in our minds. But I have to confess, much of the time, I trust more in science than God's word when it comes to healing. I wish it wasn't so. And I really have been healed. I have no excuse. I've really seen miracles. We have two children alive today because they were healed. Our son Peter in the Middle East, I came home to him in neonatal intensive care, full breathing machine, no answer. We don't know what to do. His mama was praying. He came early. I wasn't even there. Got there within 24, 36 hours. And then we prayed, we cried out, he was healed. There was no answer to why. And then he was three, same thing, similar thing happened. And I found when Kathy and I really get desperate, something happens. But yet we all know the stories of we really prayed and they died. We've all been there. And that's the mystery of it, beloved. There are times God is glorified and he's not yet fully put death under his feet and people do die. I don't understand that. We'll say this, we can all experience healing more than we do. Here's the last thing I want to say, then we're going to practice a little bit. Don't give up. Like if I'm going to one of my doctors and I travel a lot, as you know, a lot of miles every year in planes, 150, 165,000, a lot of miles. Kathy travels a lot too. I'm always, you know, a lot of times we're facing this, that disease and, you know, different that problem and everything. And I brought a parasite home from the Middle East, brought a little unwelcome visitor home with me. I was so faithful to get that medicine, take it right, read it, study it, think about it. But I thought to myself, I appreciate medicine, but do I turn to God in the same way? And so persevere. Don't quit on God. If you're sick, pray for your spouse. Or if I'm single, I'm living by myself. Put a little drop of oil on your own head and cry out to be healed. Confess that word. And let me summarize this. God's promises will build your faith. God's presence will permeate you and touch your faith. God will use people to lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Picture it. Engage your imagination. Proclaim it. Speak it. Write it. Have someone place hands on you. There's no one there. Place hands on your own head. Lord, heal me. Persevere. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a healing exercise.